In 1978, arguably one of the most influential slasher films was born. Halloween, the OG slasher film. And I know many film critics have declared that Psycho is the first slasher film, and that is true in a technical sense, but the trademark 1980s styled slasher flick, which has yet to really be recreated in modern era, was born in Halloween. Halloween follows, well, I don't need to go into the plot too much. I'm sure everyone listening knows the plot of Halloween and most of these movies I'll be discussing. But Halloween follows a young lady trying to babysit and a slasher killer shows up and stalks her. And there you go. This killer, Michael Myers, is an enigma amongst slasher film monsters. He is unclouded by any sense of conscience, any sense of reason, and only in later films, as they got schlockier and schlockier, did you ever learn his backstory, which admittedly made him less interesting. Halloween really captures the feeling of what is called the stranger danger cinema, in which you see a pleasant town, Haddonfield, Illinois, and there is a man walking, staring, watching, and you never fully see who it is, you never get a good look at them, but they're incredibly threatening. This man is Michael. And it's important to note that he is not this villainous figure that needs a mask to complete his goal. He is a psychotic killer, after breaking out of an asylum, found a mask of William Shatner and threw it on. And that quick little moment ended up spawning this big deal about the killer having a mask or some kind of facial obscurity, which later films in the next decade really capitalized on. The cinematography of Halloween is particularly of note. It is incredibly skillful at building the slow tension, something later slasher films would forego for cheap thrills when they realize there's a lot of money to be made in this genre. But Halloween, the 1978 original, was quite slow. Sure, it begins with a bang with young 6-year-old Michael inexplicably killing his sister. But after that, it's a good crawl and really tense. Michael spends the majority of the first 2/3 of the film watching. And that was what made him so menacing. The first time I watched Halloween, it was incredibly scary, not because of the kills. Growing up after the 90s, I was very used to slasher films and very desensitized to them. In fact, I got the jokes of Scream before I ever even saw Halloween, so I understood that there were these tropes that were very popular in this style of film. However, Halloween shows what a slow build, even for a very stereotyped plot, what that can do, and the benefit that can come from not getting overly excited as a director or writer. You see, the first, I guess, the most famous scene of pre-killing Michael Myers would be when half his body is standing exposed from a shrub. And you see it from a distance. And that shot and the slow forward-moving camera has been used in many horror films since. That shot particularly was used a lot in the film It Follows. It's this threatening menace, but you can't tell who they are, what their intentions are. Are they going to attack? Are they going to flee? And it's that discomfort where Halloween thrives. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that later iterations completely forego this for just aggressive killing for no reason. And Michael becomes this bulldozer that rampages through towns, destroying everything in his wake. Now, that, of course, all happened well after the next few big films in the next 5 years really started to change the shape of horror cinema. See, we were still in the late 70s in this period, and if you remember back to when I discussed Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and how a lot of that film has a commentary on the death of the golden age of cinema, and how more vulgar and crude films began taking the spotlight, one of those being slasher films. Halloween shows the transition between the pleasant films maybe found in the 1960s, the more erotic films of the mid to late 70s, and then the mass commercial horror films of the 80s. You see, cinema began tackling issues such as censorship and what needed to be allowed in a movie. Because if you watch films in that gray area, it is insane. If you watch the original Carrie, the amount of objectionable material, that would be a good way to put it, that is in that film would astonish you. It would never fly. And yet, it existed in the 70s, plain and simple. Halloween showed up to begin that craze of what gets teenagers killed is drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Once you get rid of that, kids are fine. So Halloween showed the heroine being a pure, young, strong-willed, if a little bit naive, young lady. That would, of course, keep all the way through the next 2 to 3 decades until Cabin in the Woods would spoof that idea, and now everyone is pretty much used to it. This keeping yourself safe in life will end up saving your life pattern persists through every slasher film, to the point that you know who's going to die by 30 seconds into the film. It ruins the suspense. Halloween started that. So when you watch Halloween, you have to remember the tropes did not exist yet. It kicked that off. And I know that John Carpenter created Halloween, and John Carpenter is a horror master, but boy, this franchise, after this movie, I think took the worst nosedive in quality. This franchise, it got all over the place, to the point where there was a Saw 2-styled Halloween movie where a bunch of teenagers were locked in a house filled with cameras, and Michael Myers picked them off one by one in increasingly shocking ways. It got really cheesy. And that's not to say that other horror films didn't eventually get cheesy with their modern remakes, but boy, Halloween got rough. And then, of course, there were the 2000s Rob Zombie remakes. I'm going to tell you right now, those were not very good. Some people love them, but boy, no one wants a backstory on Michael Myers. That is the fatal flaw of modern remakes. No one wants to know about a voiceless killer's backstory, his upbringing. I don't care. I don't care about that. I want to watch him break into a house and chase around teenagers with a knife. That's why I'm here. That's why I paid the money. That's what I want to see. But unfortunately, Rob Zombie had other plans. He thought it would be fun to make a very aggressively offensive movie in sound, in visuals, and even in writing quality. So thanks, Rob. John Carpenter's original Halloween is very, very good. And I would say that if you watch the original, watch the most recent remake, I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago, by John Carpenter again, watch that one as the sequel. That's all you need. The recent remake sequel, whatever you want to call it, is phenomenal. It's not as good as the original, good being a generous term, but it recaptures the same quality and a good bit of the slow build. Not as much of the slow build as the original had, but a good bit of that. The original, of course, had a very famous one-shot take where he walked through the neighborhood, went in and out of some houses, and they recreate that somewhat in the newer film. So if you're going to watch 2 Halloween movies, those are the ones to watch. And that wrapped up 1978. You see, the next year, another very influential film debuted. So stick around. Let's find out what 1979 had in store.